Okay, so here we go. 2 Samuel chapter 11, we begin at verse 26, we go through 12, verse 10, and then we pick up verses 13 and 14. So this is a lot of Hebrew in 20 minutes. So let's just dive in. I don't think we need a real setting of the narrative. I think most people inside and outside of churches know something of David and Bathsheba and Uriah and at least some of what was going on. I think theologically it's important that Israel doesn't create some kind of cultic following of its leaders. I mean, Moses is a murderer. Abraham is a liar. David's an adulterer and a murderer. This is a story of Yahweh. And apart from the creedal formula of Exodus 34, where Yahweh is Rav Chesed, you know, abounding in loyal commitment and love, you know, none of these people stand a chance. So, here we go, just in verse 26 in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel. We pick it up, you know, after, you know, David has made his plans and succeeded with the death of Uriah. So, Vatishma Eshet Uriah. So the wife of Uriah, Uriah, heard, that would, of course, be Bathsheba, that mate Uriah, so mate just comes from moots, called perfect third masculine singular, Uriah died, her ish, her husband, and she mourned the tishpod, she mourned about her Baal, literally. Now this is a good point, just to interject that Baal is just a title, his proper name is Hadad. Which I always revolt against when my children say, "Hey, Dad." but "Hey, Dad" is his proper name in Ugaritic text. Baal is just a title. It means a lord, master. Here it means husband. See? So it has no Canaanite mythological motifs here at all. Verse 27 then. Apparently we would understand this first vav is more temporal. And not just and, but when the Avel, when the morning crossed over, or literally traveled, we probably translate Avar here, cease. It's got any number of different shades of meaning. We'll see that it means to forgive later on in 2 Samuel 12. But anyway, so when the morning or the time of lamentation ceased, you could almost see David here just kind of looking at his clock. See, and then the clock strikes, you know, midnight on the, you know, eighth day of mourning. And just after the stroke of midnight, what does he do? He shallocks. He sends and he gathers, this verb asaf, he gathers her, that third feminine singular pronominal suffix, her being the Ashet Uriah, being Bathsheba, he gathers her, El Beito, to his house, and Hayah plus Lamed here. This is very common Hebrew construction with the Lamed. So we pick up the second Lamed in Le'isha. So Vetehi Le'isha. So she became wife. See, and then you pick up the first lamed as a lamed of possession. She became wife lamo for him. So she became his wife. Now he had several already. See, so she just joins the harem. And lo and behold, va te led lo bane. And she gave birth for him a son. And it's interesting, in Hebrew narrative, the narrator rarely will provide any comments. I mean, the theological and moral points are always, not always, but normally made very subtly, see. So for the narrator, at this point to actually provide a commentary is really striking in Hebrew narrative. So this really sets the whole scandalous affair off from any number of heinous, horrific sins in Israel. So this really is odd to have this at the end of the chapter. So we have this geminant roots, resh, ayin, ayin, call, imperfect, third masculine, singular, wow, consecutive. So the devar here, the event, probably not word, see, I mean, again, it's has many different shades of meaning. So the event was ra'ah, evil, which saw David, which David did in the eyes of Yahweh. Well, you know, this Western country and Western song, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. Well, no one does, but Yahweh does. Yahweh sees. See, his eyes saw the whole thing, and it was ra'ah, evil to him. Okay, well, so then we get to chapter 12. Verse 1, so in light of the ra'ah of the events, the devar of David, Yahweh shalach Natan to David, and he went to him. Now this is like putting your whole synodical career on the line, see. This is going right to the guy who can play hardball and can flush you down the toilet immediately and saying, you know what, pal, you got a problem. So, you know, Nathan stands in the great line of prophets like Elijah, later on in 1 and 2 Kings, earlier Moses who goes to Pharaoh's court. Finally, Jesus is the one who would go toe-to-toe and eyeball-to-eyeball with the authorities of his day. So, you know, this is just a huge step of ecclesiastical faith here for Nathan to do this. But he's sent by Yahweh, see? So he said to him, and then he has this parable, right? There were Shinei Anashim, two men there were, Hayu, Be'ir Ekat, in one city, Ekad Ashir, so one was, I mean, very kind of clipped Hebrew here, no verbs here, but one was Ashir, rich, Ve'ekad Rosh, okay, and another was Rosh, and we'll see it normally spelled, just a Resh Shin here, but we have this middle Aleph. So just kind of different spelling of the same word in this little parable. The other was poor. So, verse 2, to the rich there was Zon Uvakar. That's just a way like Job is described, see, in Job 1. If you have Zon Uvakar, you know, you've maxed out financially. Small cattle, large cattle. Harbe is now, technically, that's a hifil infinitive absolute from Resh Beit Hey. So what is infinitive absolute doing in here? See, normally infinitive absolutes will be used to modify Hebrew finite verbs. See, like, we'll see that later on if we ever get there. I don't want to cut into my good colleague David Lewis's time. But anyway, normally they're used as adverbial modifiers of finite verbs. But here, it's used as a noun. Okay, it can be used as a noun. It's used in a noun in Jonah 4, verse 11. So here it means like much. See, and then ma'od, the adverb, greatly. So, and there was much, zon uvakar, greatly. So again, it's kind of clipped Hebrew here, but he had a lot of cattle, and sheep and goats. So, on the other hand, probably we understand this first vav of verse 3 is disjunctive, but to the rosh, see, to this poor guy, there was not ain kol. There wasn't anything ki'im except kivas, this little lamb, kat, one, ketana, again another adjective modifying the this little lamb, small, which he bought, which he kanad, which he acquired, maybe. It could be either. And here's a piel of kaya, And he, Peel quite often has this Hifil-like idea. So he caused her to live, see? And he raised her from Gadol. You know, big, great, here it's in a verbal sense. So he sustained her life, he nurtured her, you know, to grow up with his benaf, okay. So, you know, with his children. So, boy, you mess with a pet in a family. See, the parents might not care, but the kids sure do. And I could go into personal experiences here, but I won't. Yak Dao together. So the whole family loves, see, this little lamb. From his hands, kind of, she ate, see, kind of rare word there, peat. Normally it would be like cough for hand. But she ate from his hand, and from his cup, tishteh, she drank. And in his bosom, Tishkav, she slept. See? And she was like to him, Kivat, a daughter. Well, you couldn't have more endearing relationship between the owner and the lamb. Oh, and we better go quickly here. I'm so sorry. Verse 4. So this Halek guy, this is a traveler, arrive to the man, the rich guy, verse 4, 2 Samuel 12, and he spared, see, Kamal, to give, infinitive construct of Lecoq, I'm sorry, that's not infinitive construct of Lecoq, it's call perfect, third feminine singular of Lecoq. So he spared to give, okay, well, that is an infinitive construct, I'm so sorry, from Lecoq. Okay, he spared to take from his small animals, the tzon, or from his big animals, to give to the la'o reyak, that's the traveler, the one coming to him, see. On the other hand, disjunctive of, he took from the little lamb of the man, that is the poor guy, and he sawed it, see here, Magak, do prepared it for a meal for the man coming to him. See? Alright, so far the parable. Now we have the reaction of the king. The nose of David's became angry, see, against the man greatly. Oh, he said to Natan, as Yahweh lives, indeed, a son of death, the man, the one doing this. The kavas, David's still talking here, the little lamb, will be restored fourfold, see, on account of which he did this devar. See, you kind of see the devar. I mean, we have this nice word play in verse 6, and the devar going back to verse 27. See, it was the devar was evil in the eyes of Yahweh, and here David is kind of using the same language here. The devar, this one, on account of which he did not spare. See, he didn't, and so verse 7. Nathan said to David, now here's probably where you want to preach, Atah Ha'ish. Every Hebrew student knows this, okay? Atah Ha'ish. So homiletically, one could go to John 19, verse 5. You have two kings who are standing now. One is David, one is David's greatest son. Both are condemned as guilty. See, here David is condemned owning his own sins. Here Pilate says, Idu ha anthropos, right? Behold the man, ecce homo, you know, in the Latin Vulgate. Famous words of Pilate. So homiletically, I think that would be your move to the cross. Both men are guilty, condemned. See, one gets off, that's David. One goes to the gallows, that's Jesus. All right, so moving along here, So, Ataha Ish. Oh, man, again, Nathan's just laying it on the line. Ko Amar Yahweh Elohei Yisrael. So now we have these independent personal pronouns. They're like driving the nails into the coffin. Anoki, you don't need Anoki. Anoki, I, that is, I'm a shock to you. I'm a Messiah to you. See, I anointed you. Melech over Yisrael. I, see, Ve'anoki, I, that is the one. I saved you, Miyad Sha'ul, from the hand of Saul. And I gave to you the house of your masters, see, and the wives of your masters in your bosom. See, you had, you know, a lot of, you know, close intimate relationships, not with a little lamb, but with females here. And I gave you the Beit Yisrael and Yehudah, and not a few. Did I gather for you? And then we have this idiomatic phrase, kahena ve kahena, like this and like that. So I just, you know, so and so, etc., etc. I gathered for you so much. Why did you, verse 9, despise the word of Yahweh to do the evil in, now here we would amend, you see the kere kathiv, not in his eyes, that's the what's written, but what the Masoretes want us to read is in my eyes. See, because Yahweh's kind of still speaking through Nathan. That is Uriah the Hittite. You smote, you struck. This is a hifil of nakah, the, you know, Hebrew verb from hell. First nun, third hey. All you have is the middle cough. You struck by means of a sword, and his wife you took for yourself as a wife, and him you slew by means of the sword of the Bnei Ammon, the Ammonites. And now the sword will not depart from your house, Ad Olam, forever, on account of which you despised me, and you took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be for you Isha. Okay, I've got 30 seconds. We have to get to the absolution, right? The confession, really. Psalm 51, right? It ties nicely into this. So we drop down, at least in the appointed text of verse 13. David said to Nathan, Katati LeYahweh. See, I mean, so there it is. I've sinned against not just Uriah, not just Bathsheba, not just against my family, but really against Yahweh. And what does Natan say, El David? Even Yahweh, here's this Avar in the Hithel, Yahweh has caused to pass, to travel your sin. See, he's forgiven your sin. You will not die. All right, so great absolution. See, I mean, that's it. You don't get any more Lutheran than that. I mean, this is pure gospel because of the man in, finally, John 19:5. See, except FSK, huge adversative, verse 14. There is an infinitive absolute functioning as a verbal modifier of a finite verb. Except, see, you truly despised. And here, most English translations don't translate your enemies or Yahweh. See, we won't go into all of that, but it just doesn't make a lot of logical sense. ESV, RSV, NIV, just omit O Yahweh, Yahweh. You despise this word. Even the son, and here's this adjective, the freshly born son to you, Mot Yamut, there's another infinitive absolute, will surely die. So there are always temporal consequences of sin. See, always. But there are no eternal consequences of sin because of Edu Ha Anthropos. Okay, well, we will go now to our good friend David Lewis.